Scripture reading this evening is 1 Kings 2, 1 through 4. 1 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. When David's time to die drew near, he commanded Solomon his son, saying, I am about to go the way of all the earth. Be strong and show yourself a man, and keep the charge of the Lord your God, walking in his ways and keeping his statutes, his commandments, his rules, and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all that you do and wherever you turn, that the Lord may establish his word that he spoke concerning me, saying, If your sons pay close attention to their way, to walk before me in faithfulness with all their heart and with all their soul, you shall not lack a man in the throne of Israel.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. In the book of 1 Kings chapter 2, this is probably a good passage to discuss and begin a lesson on parenting. However, this is one of those things where David is giving his son some fatherly advice. He's about to embark upon the fact of being a king. What would you say to your son who's about to be the next king of Israel? Would you like maybe one president gives advice to the up-and-coming president and say, these are some things I think you need to know about economic policy or foreign policy or things regarding certain programs. Or maybe he might tell him that whatever you do and however you do it, you need to make sure you leave a mark on the kingship of Israel. I don't know what he would do if that were the things that he would tell him. What would he say? I don't know what the economic policy would be regarding the case with the people of Israel. I don't know what the foreign policy would be regarding the people that surrounded him. I don't know what he would tell him. So therefore, this is not what he advises him. If you notice of the things that he talks to him about here, he talks to him about what is really most important. And the most important thing is that he does all that he can to learn what the law of God says. Not only that he will learn it, but he will also live by the precepts that are found in that law. That's the most important thing that he would tell his son before he became the next king of Israel. Now, at that point, once he hears those words, do you think Solomon believes that there's going to be a lot of uncertainties he may face? Probably so. There might be some troubles, might be some problems that he may face that his father doesn't specifically address. There might be a lot of worries, might be a lot of things that challenges the fact that he's now going to be the next king of Israel. A lot of economic, moral problems. He may run across a lot of anti-God people, idolatry, worshipers around him. But this is the one main thing he wants him to understand. Now, David doesn't say you're not going to have to deal with anti-God people. He doesn't say all the things will turn from immoral to moral. He doesn't say that all these things will reverse themselves. They're not going to go away. It's almost as if to say that's very much identical to the things that we would be facing. Uncertainties, they'll be there. Challenges, they'll be there. Problems, troubles, sin, temptation, and the list goes on of all the many things that may go on, and they're all going to be there. And we may think that if some of those things, and maybe if all of those things were eliminated, then this world, my world, would be a lot better place to live in. And I would live a lot better if that were the case. But it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. And I'm not going to be one of those that's going to deliver to you a lot of woe and doom and gloom and let you understand by the time you leave here, there's no point. There's no use. But in the midst of all the uncertainties that may lie ahead, whatever they are, the questions, the troubles, the problems, the sin, the temptations, if all those things are not eliminated, if those things are not stopped, what are we going to do? And I would say the very same thing that David would say to his son. Walk in his ways. Keep his statutes, his commandments, his ordinances, and his testimonies according to that which is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, whithersoever thou turnest thyself. That's what I would say too. And that would be wise words that any parent would want to teach their children. And there's a lot of parents that are groping. They're searching for what key ingredient, what thing do I really need to tell my children when they grow up? What is the main thing that I need to tell them? What's the most important thing that I need to give to them? And this is it. This is it. And you may have come tonight thinking that I will deliver to you some eloquent, motivational, inspiring word and motto and phrase that I could come up with and say, this is what you need to give your children. But this is it. This is simple. It's easy to understand. And that's what your children need to know. There's a lot of people that are losing their spiritual desire. And there's a lot of people that are losing their zeal for what's right and what's good. The success of David is the same success that comes to all of us. What's the most important thing that any Christian needs to know? It's this right here. Really wanting to know, wanting to live by the precepts of the Bible. This is going to be on the tail end or kind of piggyback off of what we talked about this morning. Is the Bible really, if we follow it, is it sinful? And if you didn't hear that lesson this morning, then you have to go back to understand why we're talking about the things that we're talking about this evening. Even though we may say these words, and we may even copy them in what we say to others, really, really, do we believe that? Do we truly believe that? Or do we really believe that that's not going to work? The Bible doesn't work. We need to try another way. It's not really doing good. We may say it is, but we don't act the way that we believe. Do we listen to it? Do we really listen to what we're saying in our hearts compared to what we're saying with our lips? And also by what we're saying, by what we're doing. That the most important thing that a Christian needs to know is that he or she needs to be living by the precepts of the Word of God, letting that be that which inspires him or her, motivates them, moves them, causes them to act the way they act. We talk about reading the Bible and how important it is to read the Bible. And we sometimes feel guilty because we're not reading a lot of it. Or enough of it. But therefore, even though we talk about that, how it is we feel guilty because we're not reading it or not enough, we talk about how important it is to discuss in a sermon, in a Bible class. It needs to be presented at every wedding or in every funeral. But we sure don't want the young people to know that that's really not going to work. It takes a lot of time and it takes a lot of work to know what the Bible says. We dare not say to a young person, it's laborious. It takes a lot of work to get to know this scripture. We don't say that. Dare we not ever say that? But we act as if this Bible takes too much. And it's not exciting. Why is it that we would think that it's not that exciting? Because there are other books that we read that are more exciting. And we read those books. And we want our children to read those books. But why is all that? It's because we have so many other things that's happening in our life. So many other things that are crowding in our minds, that are pushing out this living word that is to be needed in every generation, including the one that Solomon is receiving from his father David. That generation of Solomon, they needed it just as much as the generation that David had. But we are crowding it out, and there's no room. And that's why You find people that come to Bible class, whether it's the teacher or whether it's the students in the class, that are not ready for the Bible class. Because all these things are going on. And as a result of that, what do you think happens? They're not interested in living it. They're not interested in teaching it. And therefore, the teaching is not done. But I want you to think about something with me about what we say about the Bible that helps us understand a lot of things about this being the most important thing that every Christian needs to know. And the first one is this. People ask the question, who can understand it? There's a lot of words in the Bible that I just do not know how to pronounce. There's a lot of things in the Bible that I just do not understand. There's a lot of things in the Bible, and as a result of there being a lot of things in the Bible and a lot of information in the Bible, I just don't think I'll be able to absorb all of that. And therefore, as a result, we say, I don't understand it. I don't know how many times you read the newspaper a week, but do you understand everything that's in the newspaper? Every phrase, every word? Do you know what those words mean? How about chemistry? How about calculus? Do you know how an annuity works? How many of you have taken the pages that have been given to you by the insurance company for your house and you read every single sentence, every single paragraph, every single page, and you knew everything about that insurance policy? People say they don't understand chemistry or calculus or their insurance policy, and they don't know how an annuity works. Then there are other people that will look at those very same subjects and they'll say, well, that's easy. That's easy. Why is an insurance policy easy to understand? Why is annuity and the way it works, how's it easy? How's chemistry? How's calculus? It's because the people that say that it is have taken time to read it, to study it, and to understand it. That's why it appears easy to them. And they've taken a lot of time and labor hard to understand it. In the book of 2 Peter chapter 3, I want you to notice something in verse 15 to verse 18. It talks about the scriptures. And this is the way it describes it when it says, an account of the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given to him, wrote unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking them of these things, wherein are some things hard to understand, which the ignorant and unsteadfast, rest as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, knowing these things beforehand, beware lest being carried away with the error of the wicked, ye fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory now and forever. Amen. Now when you look at that, does the phrase where it says in verse 16, wherein are some things hard to understand, is that the justification that you have to say it's just too hard to understand? As the reason for why you don't want to read it and you don't want to understand it. If it is true that what every Christian needs to know is the Scripture, and that they should dwell within the Scripture, and that they should absorb it to the point that they will live the Scripture. Go with me to the book of Proverbs. Go with me to the book of Proverbs. Let's look at just a few of those verses. And let me ask you, and I'm not going to ask for show of hands or signifying by an answer, but listen to this very carefully. Proverbs 10, verse 26. As vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to them that send him. Is that hard to understand? Can you comprehend that? Chapter 12, verse 4. A worthy woman is the crown of her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. That's hard to miss, isn't it? Chapter 20, same book, Proverbs chapter 20. Notice with me verse 19. He that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. Therefore, company not with him that opens wide his lips. chapter 23, verse 13, where it says, withhold not correction from thy child, for if thou beat him with a rod, he will not die. That's not too hard to explain. And that's really hard to miss. When we talk about this idea of it being too hard to understand, it's a matter of how important it is to you, is what we're dealing with. That's the real issue. If the IRS sends you a letter, and you know that's who you got it from, as return address label says that it is, and it's 3 pages worth of information that are vital for you, and you first read it, and you say, I don't understand this. How many times do you suppose that you will take that same letter, those 3 pages, and reread it until you get to the point of understanding what's being said within the content of that letter? However many words, paragraphs, and pages it may be that you're going to read through that till you know. Or won't find somebody that will help you understand it. If it be an accountant or maybe someone who works for the IRS. But you will take all care and to investigate what is the content of that letter. Same thing will be true if you got a letter from your son or your daughter or your girlfriend, your boyfriend, or your parents. And that letter, however many words, however many paragraphs, how many pages, you would take that letter and you will absorb yourself and bask in every word until you understand what it is you're trying to say. And not only will you do that, you will hold on to that as a memory of the things that they state to you that are so important to from their heart to your heart. And that's exactly what you've got with God. But number two, I think sometimes what people say about the Bible is, you know, I can't remember what I read. And a lot of times we don't remember what we read because we approach the Bible with such casual thought. Lackadaisical, indifferent. There was a researcher one time who did something regarding the study of people that read things. And they came across a very interesting thought. One of the men that was part of this research found out that most people read like the capital F. If you can get in your mind what a capital F is without me putting it up there, if you look at a capital F, the first line on the top goes all the way across, but the second one goes halfway. And then there's a line there on the left. Most people read the first paragraph all the way across, maybe the second line all the way across, but then they get to the third one, and they go about the 3/4 of the way, and then the further they go down, the less amount of that sentence they read, or the paragraph they read. And therefore, they don't remember what they read. What could you do to resolve that problem? If you can't remember what you read, then take some notes. Take some notes about what you're reading. Taking notes will be a remedy as to how you could remember what you just read. I have a hard time remembering what I say, much less what I read. And if I had some notes here that would help me remember what I read, then that would help me in my reading to know that I can retain something better as I read it and then I write it down. It helps me with my memory if I read and write. To the point that maybe I'll be able to do it without being told to do it, without somebody having to tell me again, without somebody having to rebuke me. All of you ladies out here that are cooks, how many recipes do you have stored up here? Up here. It's not, you got it in print somewhere, but it's right up here. And it doesn't take you very long to go to the store and pick up every ingredient that is in that recipe and then start making it, pull out the right pot with the right size and put all those key ingredients in it because you've done it over and over. And no one's had to tell you to reread it. You got it up here. And then in that memory of what you read and studied about the recipe, you've done it so much, then if somebody were to ask you, I want the recipe for that, what do? You start quoting it. And they say, wait, let me write this down. And they start writing it down. And do you not believe that in due time, if they like the recipe well enough, that they will take that and they'll put it to memory because they read it and study it, and they'll do the very same thing that you've done? When you read, you can understand that people say, I just can't remember. But what people say about the Bible is, the Bible just doesn't excite me. It just doesn't excite me. Well, I think we would do well to think about it. If you read it, it would excite you. But if you don't read it, it's not going to. In the book, when I say the book, the Bible, it's got a lot of adventure to it. Intrigue, battles, wars, power, money. All those kind of things are in it. And if you're one of these reality TV addicts, this is reality. This is it right here. I think I've just blacked myself out here. Here we go. It's reality. It's all right there in front of you. So you have no excuse to say, this is not reality. It is. Now, I will say, Leviticus might have a lot to lack to be excited about. If you look at the book of Exodus, look at the book of Joshua, you got nonstop action, adventure. Talk about Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Jesus is going from place to place, doing things, meeting all kinds of people. Things are nonstop. It's constantly on move. So you've got a lot of excitement that's here. But what excites us is a cell phone. And what makes us feel good about this is that we can download an application onto this cell phone with all of the Bible information in it. And then feel very well and pride ourselves in the fact that we have the Bible with us all the time. All the time. Therefore, if we need it, we can pull it out. But do you know that within this are a lot of temptations that are not found in the Scripture? The temptation with this, though the Bible there, it be there, is to read that text message and to look and see if I've got the email that I was looking for that I didn't get before service started. Whereas when you pick up this, you don't have that temptation. But with this you do. But we're excited about this, but not about the Bible. Therefore, read the Bible. If you come to a Bible class, the Bible class teacher is going to be encouraged when he sees this and it's opened up. The preacher will too. But not when he sees this. Not when she sees this in the hand of the person that believes they're quickened to the heart with this. But what quickens them and what leads them to the passion of God is this. Therefore, that's what excites us most. Is this, the cell phone doesn't excite, but the Bible does. The cell phone doesn't do that. With this, though, with this, you got multiple translations at your fingertips, concordances, word studies, definitions, smartphones, iPhones, they've all got it. But this doesn't hold a candle to reading in the Scriptures the context of the message of which we're studying. Without all that stuff there clouding our mind, and see if we can figure out something before somebody else figures it out first. Electronic Bibles, smartphones, they got all those things in our hand. But I'll tell you what, this is slower than this. The people that know it, read it, study it, absorb it, can get to the passage a lot quicker than the people that go through the menus of all the books, all the verses, all the chapters to get to where they're going. And the people that are reading this are waiting for the people that are reading this. Therefore, it's so slow. We need to find ourselves coming into understanding exactly what we're doing here. Do you know what's going to really excite people? Is not only is it the Word of God is the best visual. The best visual is the Bible. That every child, when they look at something that's worn out, the pages are worn out, and they look at that as something that's been very intriguing to the mind of the person, and they look at that and say, man, that person's really showing a hunger for God's Word because they've worn it out. More so than a case that encases this cell phone will show that they've worn it out because they've used it so much. It doesn't excite. It never has, and it never will. When you look through the Scriptures, you will understand something that the Bible talks about. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 30, verse 5, it's something that you can trust. This thing has a battery that runs out. This right here is always running. It's always going. It's always there and available. When you look in the Scriptures, you will see in chapter 30 in Proverbs verse 5, every word of God is purified. The ordinances of Jehovah are pure, true, and righteous altogether. Psalms chapter 19, verse 9. And notice this in the book of Psalms chapter 119. Several things that he could talk about. We could spend all night on this passage here, but the book of Psalms 119, especially in verse 137, he says, righteous art thou, O Jehovah, and upright are thy judgments. Same chapter. Verse 140, thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. Same chapter in verse 142, he says, thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is truth. Verse 144, thy testimonies are righteous forever. Give me understanding and I shall live. The Bible does that. And I know some of you probably didn't like what I just had to say. But what's the most important thing that every Christian ought to know? It's the Bible. But let me let you think about some misconceptions that people have. First of all, one of the misconceptions is the fact the Bible is an inspirational book. An inspirational book. When I think about the idea of the inspirational book, the Bible can motivate, the Bible can stir, and the Bible can move people. But here's the thing about inspiration. In the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, the Word of God. Every Scripture is inspired of God. The Word is inspired, not that the book is inspirational. This is not chicken soup for the soul. This is not the five love languages. The Bible is not the seven steps to success for you. The Bible is not act like a success and think like a success. It's not that. It is not simply a devotional that is supposed to create within your mind a better mood. Now, reading it will give you the attitude that you need for the day or for the week, whatever you're talking about. But the Bible is what's directing your mind. Then it directs your emotion. It directs your mind toward a conviction. A conviction that's found solely within the power of the Word of God. The Bible is inspirational. That's what some people say. The Bible describes God truthfully, accurately, no error to it. It tells you exactly who God is, where He came from, what's He doing? He's out of heaven. What's He going to do for you? What message does He deliver to you? Who's He sending? What's His plan? What's His purpose? What am I supposed to be doing here? God's telling you all about what He does. If you turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 to verse 13. In verse 9 and verse 10, there's a lot of people that will discuss these two verses as if to say, this is about heaven. But that's not about heaven at all. But as is written, things which eye saw not and ear heard not, which enter not into the heart of man, whatsoever things God prepared for them that love Him, but unto us God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For who knows among men the things of a man save the spirit of the man that's in him? Even so the things of God none knows save the Spirit of God. But we received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is from God, that we might know the things that were freely given to us of God. The Bible, the inspired Word of God, tells you about who God is. And it reveals to you that he's the one that's given this revelation. He's the one that's given this to you. But this is what people are saying about the Bible. It's an inspirational book. And it's just a book of quotations. If you listen to politicians sometimes, actors, actresses, people of prominence and fame, even athletes, sometimes quote certain scriptures in a way to in some way make you think good of them and good about what they're doing. Maybe to support them in whatever effort and agency or service that they're doing for the community and for the nation. So that you'll vote for them. How many times have those people really read those verses? They probably quote things they don't even understand. They had never read, and they sure don't know how to apply. The Bible is one of these things that it just helps us understand what the right kind of thinking is. It gets us to think the right way, correctly. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 to verse 4 talks about it contains within it all things that pertain to life and godliness. Keeps us thinking the right way about life and godliness, not the wrong way. Keeps us in the right way. We say the straight and narrow path. Even in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14, God does not want us to grow up as Christians to be tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Which means God's going to correct us somewhere along the way if we find ourselves going away in a way that's not within the scriptures. The Bible has a way of taking something out and putting something in its place. It takes away the error, puts in the truth. It takes away the wrong, puts in the right. People say a lot of things about the Bible. They have these misconceptions that, well, it's just a collection of interesting verses. Just a lot of verses that you put together. Maybe what it really does is just give us some useful hints as to how we can deal with economic crisis, suffering, problems like sickness, family issues, and grief. And if we pull all those verses out, all those interesting verses, then that points to my dilemma and helps me resolve my problem. Now you can find a lot of verses about suffering, family problems, grief, etc., etc. Bible is there to give you contextual understanding, to see exactly what's going on in the mind of God. And a serious Bible student will read it from verse to verse, to chapter, to book, to get the whole picture of this. Not just the interesting verses. They're in essence like an American greeting card thought of the day. Thinking of you. Meaningful meditations. Sobering sentences. Wonderful thoughts. But the misconception that some people have about the Bible is you just don't need it to understand. You just don't need to understand anything about it. And that's kind of come along with the idea of way back years ago during the Reformation movement. After the people saw what happened to the Catholic Church, the dominance of the Pope, telling everybody to do what they need to do. Next thing you know, the Reformation movement came along and people opposed the Catholic Church. And then they started erecting councils and boards and conclaves and people were conferences where people would dictate what the scriptures say. And therefore, the common man doesn't understand it, so therefore, we're going to tell him exactly what the Bible teaches. Therefore, what's the conclusion? You don't need to understand it. You don't need it. And the conclusion that some people have is, I'm just going to live a good life. I don't need the Bible anyway. I don't need to know anything about the Bible. I'll just listen to what somebody's got to say about it. Those people that get the most out of the Bible are the people that will dig in it, study it carefully, use the concordances, get the dictionaries that will help them understand and know exactly what God wants them to do. There's something I think we need to know before we leave this lesson tonight, and that is, three reasons why the Bible is the most important thing to know. It is the only book And only the Bible can transform the lives of people. Some people think the greatest transformation that the world has ever seen was when the printing press came along, or when the internet came to be, or when they discovered this, or when they discovered that, or when they had the cure for this, or when they had the cure for that, some diet or some medical breakthrough. But in reality, it's when people knew what the Bible taught to transform their life. Like Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, proving what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Only the Bible is that which contains a life-changing message of transformation, or freedom, we would say. Interesting to me that this Bible does this in the process of somebody living in prison, living under oppression, and living under captivity. They can still be free in the midst of those situations. They can still experience their freedom because it tells the person of what the real worth and value is. And the two most interesting things to me about the Bible and its freedom is, number one, its accessibility. It's available to everybody. Everybody that wants it. And there's no handicap that a person would ever experience. No sickness, no disease that binds its limitations. No physical limitation, no mental limitations, no government regulation limits the ability of the freedom of this book. It contains it. Sets everybody free. Like John 8:32 says, know the truth and the truth shall make you free. And it is the book that connects you with history's most significant person, and that's Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2, Paul says, that's who I want to know. And he said, I want to know nothing save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And the most important figure in history. Something, somewhere is referenced about Him from cover to cover. You can't miss Him in this book. What should we do about it? What can we do to find ourselves being what we ought to be? To know that this is the most important thing in the world. Well, first of all, let's just have the right attitude about it. As we approach it, know that when we go into this, we're going to use it. We're going to learn it. We want to do it. I will do this. I'm not going to come away with more questions, but I'm going to go into it with trying to figure out the answer to the questions. And I'm going to know exactly what God wants me to do. Number two, get the right tools or the right help. The dictionaries, all the things that are needed, the concordances. Whenever you go do the right job, if you're going to do the job right, you're going to get the right tools for it. Get you a good translation, not the Message. The Message is just some modern day thinking for somebody to put all those words together. Get the right translation. Get a good one. And then pray for wisdom. Ask, knock, seek. And with all those actions, there's a corresponding response that says, you knock, there's an answer. You seek, you find. It's all right there for you. You ask, you'll be given. And then, discipline. Stay with the task. Don't compare your knowledge to somebody else's knowledge. What they know more than you, what they don't know as much as you. Don't do that. But look at the people that know the Scriptures. Not just memorize the Scriptures, know it and study it. And as a result of the task that they undertook to learn and the discipline that it said to stay with it, do the same within you. And you'll become to learn the most important thing in life, and that's the Bible. Problems won't go away in life. Temptation is going to be around for a long, long time. They won't ever go away. And what are we going to do about that? Pray real hard that God would eliminate all that to make our world a better place? Or are we going to do what David tells Solomon? To meditate upon the Word, to read it, to absorb it carefully, and to follow in your life those precepts that are found within that Scripture. Knowing that you're going to be held accountable for this. You're going to be held accountable for this. And God's not going to be one of these that's going to let you face him the day of judgment and say, okay, we're going to have some Bible trivia here, see what you know. None of that's going to go on. But he's going to see through what you thought, what you believed, and what you did, as to whether or not you thought the Bible was the most important thing that everybody should know. Contained within that is the message that leads to salvation. Of the person who would hear it, the person who would believe it, and the person who would obey it. Through their confession that Jesus is the Son of God, and being baptized in the water to rise up new, clean, whole, free. It's the only book that will do that. Just be obedient to it. Do what's right. Well, together we sing this song.